Hello and croeso to episode 84 of Alternative Wales, the podcast. Blwyddyn newydd dda, one and all. We're back and ready for a massive 2023. Before we get on to the show, I'll introduce who I'm with. I'm joined by Wrexham's answer to Anthony Bourdain. It's Tommy Couch. Tommy, how are you?
Why? No, fantastic. Thanks, Rod. Yeah, really, really Rod?
Good.
Lovely to get there. Did you say me?
Yeah, I said you, but you said you called me Rod.
Did I?
Yeah.
Anyway, I think I'm still pissed. I'm absolutely buzzing, right? Great weekend, great start to the new year, and excited for what's to come.
Absolutely, absolutely. And joining him, of course, is Llandyfri's answer to the bloke down the pub who always has something wrong with him. It's Rodri Davis. Rodri, how are you?
Yeah. not. I won't pretend I'm healthy because I'm not, but I don't really want to start the year off by describing how I feel because it's not good to get. I've been unwell for about a month and a half now, so it's just one thing after another.
I've been unwell for about 36 years now.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm only 32, so 4 years before I was conceived, I was unwell. Yeah.
A peek behind the curtain, I saw Rodri yesterday after the Leeds Cardiff game, and he revealed to me that his ankles ligaments are gradually collapsing or something, so which made me laugh.
There's something wrong with my foot now, yeah. And I haven't exercised for about a month because I've been full of cold and flu. So I don't know how that's happened. People keep telling me it's gout, but it's not gout.
Oh, dear, dear.
Yeah, fuck it. I don't know. Onwards and upwards.
Onwards and upwards, indeed. Right. I did have a show planned where we'd discuss the hopes, or our hopes, for Welsh football over the next year. But obviously that's been shelved after the news broke earlier that Gareth Bale has retired from football. I'm pretty heartbroken. I think we all knew it was coming sooner rather than later, but it still hit me like a ton of bricks. Kaus, how are you feeling about it all?
Oh, yeah, really, quite sad, actually. Quite sad about it. I saw a couple of people saying they had a few tears in their eyes anyway. I didn't quite go that far, but no, it just makes you sort of reminisce on what good times we've had over the past, certainly 10 years. But I think throughout his time as a player with Wales, he's been absolutely superb. I mean, I remember look back to his goal against Slovakia. What a horrendous day that was, but yeah. what a fantastic goal. I think he was only 17 at the time. Absolutely. What a servant he's been, and just what a... But it goes further than football, doesn't it? Like, he's just done so much for Welsh culture, the Welsh nation. I don't think you can really overstate what he's done for us as a country, to be honest. A really sad day that he's retired. But like a good friend of mine said earlier on, Gary Davis, don't be sad that it's over. Be happy it happened.
Absolutely. Rod, like Kau said, I had a few tears earlier. I watched the video the FAW put up and I welled up. And it just feels like the sort of end of a real era because he's just been the constant and the focal point of Welsh football for the last, 15 years it's been probably, and the rest.
Yeah. Kau said you can't really overstate it. I when I saw the breaking news, I was on BBC Sport during my break in work and I refreshed the page and it came up. And I'm not overstating it. It's like finding out really bad, really horrible news. Yeah. That's how it felt. My guts, like my stomach, heart sunk to my stomach, like whatever that saying is. You knew it was coming, and it's probably the right decision because his body's pretty much been through the ringer for his whole career with his calves, hamstrings, and all this. But he's done what he needed to do. He could have extended it, but, it's probably for the best for him, especially, and probably for us. It's nice to see him technically go out on a high, playing in the World Cup and scoring in the World Cup, even though it didn't really end that well. But the whole picture, that's how he would go out if he had a choice at a World Cup with his, a small country like Wales fighting in the top table. So, yeah, He's gone. He had nothing left to prove, and it's a good way to bow out, to say. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I agree. I think it's probably the right time, as much as we don't want to admit it. And I'd want to, if I watch him play for Wales forever, I could, I would.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't think he offers us what he once did. I think that proved in the World Cup. He knows that, and I think it shows the personality of the man, Gareth Bale, to know that his time is up and not sort of just keep going on like an ego trip like someone like Ronaldo is. Because, you know, Ronaldo has been a negative effect on the teams he's been in for the last few seasons, you know, and that's why he's ended up in Saudi Arabia taking that blood money. And it's just nice that Bale never did that. And I think he'd done what he wanted to do. He's achieved it all across club football, international football, and he's taken us to heights we never thought we'd ever get to. I'm just glad he's gone out on his terms, you know, and it wasn't a bad injury that kept him out. It didn't get ugly at the end. You know, he didn't go on too long.
And his last club game, he won a trophy in as well. Yeah. And he scored the goal that basically got them that trophy. So,
yeah,
you know, the stuff he's achieved, even when he's been on his ass, like body knackered, he still pulled things like out of the bag to the end. So, it's a good way to go, really, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Right, let's chat about some of the great memories he's given us over the years. Instead of questions on Twitter, I asked for some Gareth Bale memories. So a few of these. Matt Davis said, how many England players would get in the Wales squad? And Bale replies, none, and giggles cheekily, which was a personal favourite of mine. Wizzy said, both goals against Austria for me was the best. When he stepped up for that free kick, he rolled back the years a little bit and hit it perfectly. Then the moment of magic for the second, simply the greatest. Sam says, basically every time he was on a pitch, whether he was joking around or dragging us along, every minute was a joy. Can't choose a favourite goal, but his cross for Ramsey's header against Hungary will always be one of my most vivid and emotional football memories. Mike Jones says, too many to bottle. If I had to pick one, it's the winning goal. This is Scotland in the rain with a dive in front of the fans. You could see how much it meant to him, and it kicked off our revival under Coleman. Ethan Davis says, the goal against Croatia to bring Wales level was great, but the celebration from the man showed how much passion and love he had for his country. The best to ever do it. Alan March, the podfather, says, the goal against Belgium at home in June 2015, when we actually believed we could qualify for the Euros, the header against Cyprus in September 2015, when we knew we'd qualify, and of course the free kick against England in Lons, and there are so many more. Evan Powell said, the Andorra free kick, where would we be without that? Scotland 2012, one of the best goals I've ever seen in the flesh. Austria and Ukraine, not asked if the latter was an own goal. That was his moment when it came full circle. Edward Greening said, 11th of June 2016, hoping, praying we didn't look silly at our first tournament since 1958. We get sliced open with ease within 3 minutes. 7 minutes later, we score in a tournament, and there could have only ever been one person to score it. Gareth McCann said, Scotland, throwing my son up in the air after he scored a belter. This is a lovely one, actually, from James. He said, took a really spontaneous last-minute trip in the summer to Kansas City for the LAFC game. He came on with 30 minutes to go to booze, then scored his first MLS goal minutes later. Wales flags and shirts everywhere in the stadium. Thousands of miles from home. Special memory. David Collis says, lovely question. First was his when the peak of his powers and beat Scotland 2-1, Charlie Adam kicking him all game. Bale went past him and put a screamer in the top corner in the 90th minute. And Zidane, a man who rarely even smiles, freaking out after the overhead kick to win the Champions League final. And finally, Ethan Jones said, when he effectively told Zidane and Rail to go fuck themselves after scoring a bicey to win the Champions League, has to be up there as the biggest sporting flex ever. I mean, that's really only scratching the surface in terms of what, you know, his career and, you know, the big moments, obviously. Kaus, what are your standout moments? I know we'll cover most of them and we've spoke about a lot, but is there anything for you that stands out in particular?
I've got to say, it's probably not the biggest moment he was involved with, but that goal against Scotland for me is the one that really sticks out in the mind, because it was just... It, like, I tell you what, though. Actually, I'm going to go back on what I just said because I think actually, when you think about it, that goal was vital because I think Coleman may well have lost his job. He was under a lot of pressure at that time. And maybe everything that came after might not have happened had that goal not gone in. But yeah. I just remember that night. That was Bale at his very, very best. I think 2012 to, say, you know, 2017, those 5 years there. Mm. He was almost unplayable, especially in a Welsh shirt.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that Scotland one. Obviously, you can talk all the other ones you've mentioned as well. Slovakia. He's just been absolutely impeccable. I can sort of understand people putting other players forward as the greatest Welsh player of all time, but in my mind, he is the greatest Welsh footballer of all time. I think that's not even a debate for me. I think maybe people in my tides generation might say John Charles, but no. I just think it's what a special period we've been in. Mm. I mean, you know, I've been going to watch Wales a long time. You know, I remember the great days under Mark Hughes when we were getting 72,000, and then for like 10 years we were in the doldrums. And he as well as the likes of Ramsey, Gary Speed, big shout out to him as well. But people like him, they've dragged us out of the doldrums it does make you quite emotional, doesn't it, to think back at all these absolutely outstanding moments. Got to say, though, if you're pushing me for one, I'm going to say the Scotland one.
Yeah, I think like Kaus, like you said about how he is probably our greatest player of all time, and I think we've had loads of great players. I think we have been very blessed with really individual talent, but I think they've always been really good individual talents. But what Bale's managed to do is pull a team along with him. You know, he was a superstar, and he made other players superstars when they played for Wales. And I think we've had this period of greatness. Because he spearheaded it and he's helped. Yeah. And I think other players, as good as Rush was or as good as Giggs was, they weren't able to do that and bring a team with them, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think Bale didn't have an ego as such. He was the obvious superstar of our team for the last decade or whatever. But he's the one who helped create that atmosphere as well.
Yeah.
That everyone wanted to play for Wales, and they could see he was turning up whether he was injured or not. And just that atmosphere has helped a hell of a lot for Welsh international football because, players very rarely pulled out unless they had to these days. And that was a very rare thing when I was young in the 90s when you had Bobby Gould and people would be pulling out left, right and centre. So I think that's a special thing he's helped nurture in the Welsh team.
What about your favourite memories then, Rod? Anything jump out at you?
Well, that Scotland goal was the obvious one for me as well because I was directly in line with that top corner screamer right behind the goal with the pilot and my brother. and in the pissing down rain, absolutely drenched, and we all ended up on the deck celebrating it. So that was a special memory. Obviously, being out in Andorra when he basically... Yeah. This none of what followed would have happened if he hadn't have picked that free kick out, which was a retake as well, and probably should have led to, like my brother was saying earlier, should have led to you, Ryan, being banned from international stadiums for a long time. But we won't go into that.
No comment.
Yeah, no comment. it's strange to say, but. One of my favourite ever, there's so many to choose from, but probably the bicycle kick, because seeing a Welsh player produce one of the best goals in history in like the biggest club game there is, really, is just pride. I think every Welsh person felt an astonishing amount of pride just seeing him. He was at that stage as well where he was getting a bit of grief from Madrid, just starting to turn. They were starting to turn against him because he was getting so many injuries and stuff, and he comes on and does that.
Yeah.
It just shows how unbelievable he was. And
that was one of the most I've ever celebrated, like a neutral goal, essentially.
Yeah. I don't even like Real Madrid.
Yeah.
But I was so happy he scored that. And I was celebrating like it was a Wales goal, basically.
Yeah. I mean, for me, there's obviously a lot of the ones already said. I think all his goals in that Euro qualifying campaign, the Belgium home one, the whole performance in Israel, and he scored a great free kick out there.
Yeah.
He was, you know, him and Ramsey, that was their peak. Obviously the Cypress header, and like my dad said, that was the night we all
Jazz Richards with the ball in.
That was the night we all knew we were gonna qualify. I think, you know, we didn't do it mathematically, but we knew at that point. But obviously, away from like the footballing moments, also the Iceland friendly goal. I know it didn't really mean anything in the grand scheme of things, but what a goal! You know, the fact he did it like a few months before he did it again for Real Madrid against Barcelona in the Copa del Rey is also incredible. Go on.
How long is this pod tonight? Because we could go through probably every one of his goals.
Every single
goal. Sensational. The goals he was scoring for Spurs when he won Player of the Year for two seasons. Every one of them was unbelievable.
That compilation pops up on like my timeline once every few weeks, and I will watch it every single time.
It is
incredible.
There's a great account on Twitter as well, which I follow. I think it's called Viva Bale. And it's just like he just posts like different like compilations every day, and I always sit and watch them in their entirety every time they come on. That last year he was at Spurs, he was scoring an absolute world class goal of the season contender every other week, wasn't he? It was absolutely incredible, and that's why I sort of think. You could probably say from like 2009, 2010, but I would say that bracket between, say, 2011, 2012 to 2017, he was, in my mind, I think he was probably the third best player in the world at that time.
I was discussing it with some friends the other day about how good he was. And I think he finished sixth in the Ballon d'Or in 2016, which was his best finish. I think it was behind Ronaldo, Messi, Neymar, I think Suarez, and maybe... I can't remember who else, but it was someone else, I think, just above him.
Tim Cahill or someone random.
Ali Daei. 45-year-old Ali Daei.
It could have been Griezmann because France won the Euros that year. Anyway, but I think, you know, that he was unbelievable that year for Spurs. And obviously, I remember the night I didn't watch the game. I was out. I was in a theatre in Pathcall, I think, watching my sister in something. This is how one of those vivid memories you have. And I remember looking at my phone and going, Gareth Bale scored a hat-trick at the San Siro from left back or something. I was like, hang on. Is this kid good? Because like I always remember, because obviously him and Ramsey broke through at a similar time, but I always thought Ramsey was going to be the guy and Bale was going to be like a great player, but not quite on Ramsey's level. And obviously I think Bale just transcended that and just, you know, after that San Siro moment, he just sort of went to the moon. But back to what I was going to say anyway.
I was just going to say quickly before I let you get back on. I think Harry Redknapp didn't show a hell of a lot of faith in him, did he? And that really set him back probably 2 or 3 years, Bale, I think, personally. You know, he was playing him at left back and, you know, he was sort of using him as cover for Benoit Assou-Ekotto. And, you know, it was just a nonsense of a time, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, and they thought that he was like cursed, didn't they? Because they didn't win like 25 or 30 games.
20 something games, wasn't it?
There's that thing that keeps popping up where they were like on the verge of agreeing selling him to Birmingham or something.
Birmingham or Forest. Yeah, that's it.
Bloody hell, how different things could have been if that had happened. So
Birmingham would be in the Champions League.
Alex McLeish wanted to use him as one of the eight in a back eight.
I was going to say, you know, other than the football moments, I think it's all the moments we saw him behind the scenes, just sort of like being one of the boys. I always love that when like there's a camp and like just him messing around with the other players. And I think we saw the human side of him, you know, someone who was such a superstar. At the end of the day, he was just a downright normal bloke and he never stopped being that lad from Whitchurch. And I think so many other superstars sort of lose that. You know, Ronaldo doesn't have a personality. You don't see Messi, maybe a bit different with Messi after the World Cup. But, you know, these sort of top level players, I think they lose that human aspect to them. I'll never forget that. There's that brilliant video I think the FAW put out of him meeting a young lad at a training session probably about 6 years ago. And he gives him his gloves at the end and the kid loses his mind. And it's such a lovely video. And I think that sort of sums him up I think there's the human being Bale as well, and I think he was just a humble bloke, and I think that sort of added to that, you know, the love I think we all have.
I got no affinity to Spurs as a football club, but when he went back on loan there and the videos they used to put out of him and Joe Rodon, and he was talking about aliens and stuff, and that's the sort of shit I like. So just being in chat like that, it's like he's a normal bloke and he's just living the dream.
Yeah, maybe we should get him on the
very
podcast.
Very talented normal bloke.
Yeah, get him on the podcast, not to talk football, to talk aliens with you, Rod.
Yeah, I was going to say,
that'd be a meeting of minds.
What's your favourite Bale memory? Oh, that time he said that squid people have colonised Uranus.
What's that about my ass?
Hey!
Kaus, obviously, we touched on it earlier, that Bale sort of transcended football in Wales and became like a cultural icon. You know, what do you think his impact has been on Wales as a nation, you know, above football?
I think it's huge. I think people sometimes, let's say, you know, your average Welshman, let's say, who perhaps is, you know, or woman, who perhaps is, you know, they're proud to be Welsh, but they, you know, they're sort of taking or leaving. They may also feel proud to be British as well, which is their right. You know, not everyone can be as woke as us, can they? I think just to see someone like Bale like that, who is clearly just so passionate about his country, and you know he literally was putting his country before everything, often to sometimes maybe to his detriment, actually to his own personal detriment. But for someone like that, to see someone like Bale just be so passionate about a nation, I just think it's caused, because you know, sometimes you know, a lot of Welsh people, I think we've probably got a bit of an inferiority complex sometimes. So some people would look at Bale and go, do you know what, actually, you know, if we've got someone like that who's so proud to be Welsh and look at what he's achieved on a global scale, why can't Wales be more than what we currently are? You know, I think it breeds a bit of confidence in our country and stuff like that, just to see someone like Bale. So like I say, I genuinely think he transcends boundaries, you know, beyond sport and stuff like that. And I just, you know, it is just absolutely incredible. And, you know, one of the all time great Welsh people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Rod, I think like the visibility he's given Wales, I think, you know, it proved it when we were at the World Cup, you know, how many people in the street, if you're wearing a Welsh shirt, would just shout Gareth Bale at you.
Yeah.
I think that that is one of his legacies, isn't it?
Well, I remember me and Tom, our mutual mate, TWK, went out to Thailand back in 2013. And people would be like, where are you from? And they're like, local people in Thailand, like, where are you from? And I was like, Wales. And they'd all go, Gareth Bale, even then. And this is before he's like kind of really rocketed into superstardom, really. Or it was around the same time. Yeah. So, yeah, just things like that. And he just makes, like, everywhere he went, he was like winning Champions Leagues, he'd have the Welsh flag out. And it was the little things like that. You could tell how proud a Welshman he was and the visibility he gave our country to billions watching, you know, these big events. And he'd always put Wales centre stage and just massive for the country, really. And people have often find it hard to distinguish, you know, when you say UK in America, for example, they think England.
Yeah.
And things like that. So, but Bale's kind of helped focus that there's a proud country to the left-hand side of England. So, you know, it sounds, you know, trivial thing to be, think, but it's very important for Welsh people, I think.
Yeah.
That we have someone like that putting us on a stage where you can see the Wrexham owners doing it a bit now as well. It's little things like that, and it makes such a big difference because we're a proud country, a country within our own right, and just to have people like that to represent us is... It's hard to put into words how much it means, I think, to your average Welsh person. Yeah.
Yeah, very nice. Obviously, I'm not sure he's thinking too much about what comes next. I'm sure he's got plenty planned.
PGA Tour.
Yeah. He's going to enjoy retirement, I'm sure, whatever he does. Kelsey, what do you see him doing next? Can you see him coming back to football in any capacity? I mean, I can't.
No, I don't think I can write, to be honest. Mm. You know, it was interesting listening to Robert Earnshaw before on one of the radio shows. I can't remember what it was, but you know, and he was saying, you know, what is your like abiding memory of Bale? And he was like, oh, just how much he loves football. And I just sort of thought to myself, I thought that wouldn't really be my first thought with Gareth Bale. You know, at the time, because I don't know. I sort of don't. You know, obviously we don't know Gareth Bale personally, but I suspect. I suspect he'll take a step away from the game. I don't really see him coaching.
Mm.
I don't really see him doing anything like that. I don't see him going into punditry either. So
no,
I don't know. I suspect that might be it in terms of a football capacity for Bale, but. You know, like I say, I think he's said all along, hasn't he? He'd love when he finishes to go and play a lot of golf.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm told that he's absolutely incredible. I think he's one of those people, I think, Bale, who, one of those annoying people, let's say, who just, he's probably brilliant at everything he turns his hand to, isn't he?
Yeah.
I just see him playing a lot of golf now. He'd probably enjoy a lot of family time because, as you know, as a professional sportsman, yeah. You don't have that family time, do you? You don't have enough of it. So,
yeah.
I suspect he'll be very, very quiet, I think, for the next year, certainly. But, yeah, I think he'll be successful in whatever he does. He certainly won't be struggling for a few quid, I don't think, for the rest of his life.
No, I think he's made his money now. And like, you know,
I think so.
He's got plenty of business interests as well. There's obviously his bar in Cardiff. He's got, I think, the golf bar he's got in Cardiff. There's one in Bristol now. I think he's invested in Penderyn whiskey. And I'm sure there's other things. I mean, I genuinely think one way I could see him back in football again is if he did go into sort of the business end of football. So this is basically my plea to say, Gareth Bale, please come and buy Cardiff City.
The only thing I'd say to that, if you're Gareth Bale now, and I'm not putting Cardiff City down at all, I'm just sort of looking at it. I think it's the same with any football club. If you're Gareth Bale, you're already a hero in Wales. You're already, I know he's a Cardiff fan, but I don't know whether he'd look at that and go,
it's not a good business proposition,
is
it?
That is more hassle.
It really isn't.
But listen, I'd love him to do that because I think it'd be great for Welsh football if someone like Gareth Bale obviously knows the game like the back of his hand. I'd love to see him invest in Cardiff City or a Welsh club, but I don't personally see that.
No.
But, you know, like I say, you never know.
Although, you know, I think there was something that came out not too long ago. I think it was a Gunter interview and he was saying that they used to joke with him about buying Mirtha. And then Mirtha signing all of the Welsh lads so they could play together every week. So you never know. Maybe he'll, you know, be the sugar daddy for Mirtha and just pump in a load of cash and, you know, rocket them up the league. That'd be nice. But yeah.
I tell you what, there's a very, very, very good friend of ours who would be very angry at the prospect of Gunter going to Mirtha. But you know, there you go.
Before we move on to Adrian Phillips, we should have a quick chat about the FA Cup. Kaus, actually, no. Before we get on to Wrexham, Rodri, I just want to check how many games it is now that you've seen Leeds live without seeing them win.
Yeah, I can't put a figure on it anymore. I've been to so many now. It's probably around 30, probably.
For anyone listening, Rodri has never seen Leeds win live, and he's been to at least 30 games.
Yeah, I went to like a handful when I was young, but obviously being in school and stuff, it was never really a thing and an option when I was in school going that far. It's my fault for fucking picking a team in Yorkshire, I suppose. But there we are. That's my stupid decision I made, and I, for some reason, stuck with it. Kinderry never really progressed to the level where they could be my main team, but... One day. It's probably around 30 odd now. And I've seen quite a few draws. So, yesterday's game is the only game where I felt like it was probably, you know, I could actually be happy at the end of it because they scored in the last minute and equalised and hadn't seen something like that before. It's usually they missed the penalty and struggling to break down 10 men. I thought, yeah, this is what happens when I go to watch them. So wasted my fucking time and money. But there we are. It was a good game, though. I enjoyed it.
It was the most I've enjoyed watching Cardiff in a while.
Cardiff B team.
Yeah.
Almost beating Leeds, albeit we had, Leeds had a few youngsters out, but it was a lot of Premier League regulars there. So, yeah.
No, I spent the whole first half just laughing because it was just hilarious. Yeah. We'd been terrible all season and Leeds turn up to Cardiff and of course they go 2-0 down. Then it got even funnier when Joel Bagan got sent off for handballing it on the line and then Leeds missed the penalty.
He could have got away with that as well without the VAR.
Was it VAR that made the call?
No. If the ref had missed it, he would have got away with it. I think... I didn't think it was. I didn't spot the handball because it happened so fast.
Yeah, even on TV, it looks like he's just shanked it wide because it doesn't look like the deflection. It's a weird one.
But it would have been. It would have been even more incredible if the ref missed it. How I was in the Leeds end, and the anger was already fucking.
I watched
level 10 million. So,
the match of the day highlights this morning, and you could see the Leeds end after it happens. They go absolutely ballistic at the referee. Yeah. But yeah, very funny game overall. Did enjoy myself.
It was. I enjoyed it. We managed to catch up afterwards. The negotiating police corners and stuff. Yeah.
Managed to sneak through and we met up for a quick scrap, tops off scrap. Cornwall and Grangetown. Spat on you, called you Leeds scum, and then shook your hand and we're Wales fans again now.
Yeah, that's it.
Cous, obviously, Wrexham were the headline of probably the whole round, I think. What a flipping stressful game. I was stressed watching it. I dreaded thinking how you felt about it all.
Well, I had a lad behind me threatening to kick my head in as well after several.
Nothing different there, either.
No. In all fairness, rightly so as well, because I was going to But yeah, brilliant day. It was absolutely awesome, and it was far more stressful than it should have been. Callum McFadden made us sweat a little bit, as well as pretty dodgy display from Mark Howard as well. But he was
flapping all over the place at the end. Bloody hell!
To be honest with you, right, and I think he's a really good keeper, I've got to say, but we've got Rob Layton's back from injury now.
Okay.
I'd have him back as number one tomorrow. You know what I mean? Well, yeah, funny enough, we are playing tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening. Parky likes Mark Howard, but no, he's been pretty dodgy in quite a few games this year, Mark Howard. But like I say, we got the win in the end. And just some brilliant performances out there as well. I was confident before the game, in all honesty, but... Yeah, I didn't see us going 4-1 up, especially when no one in the Championship has put 4 past Coventry all season. So, it was impressive, really impressive. And Sheffield United now in the next round, so it's a home draw. It's a great chance to get through again.
Yeah, I was watching the draw after the game last night in the ground, and I was obviously sort of had my fingers crossed for mate. I mean, like Cardiff or Leeds versus Wrexham would have been a superb draw. But obviously, I was just hoping Wrexham would get a draw. And it was a little bit like, oh, okay, Sheffield United at home. But I mean, the racecourse will be full, as it always is, regardless of the opposition. I'm sure there'll be a great atmosphere. And Sheffield United won't fancy coming up there and playing Wrexham. I mean, Wrexham made Coventry look really bad for a long period of time. It was only really when Coventry went down to 10 men that things got a little bit silly. I mean, were you a bit disappointed with it? But also, if you can get to the fifth round, that's brilliant.
I understand the the thing is, though, if you can't get a top side like a Man United, a Liverpool or someone like that, then I think it's one of the it's not one of the best draws, but it's a winnable tie for us. We've won all 15 games at home this year.
Yeah.
So, we are very, very strong. And that's why it was so impressive on Saturday against Coventry, because generally speaking, we've struggled, not struggled away from home, but we haven't been fantastic. I think we've won won 7, drawn 5 and lost 2. So it hasn't been, we haven't been fantastic away from home, but we have been absolutely impeccable at home. So it's a great chance. I think it's a great chance. It'll be interesting to see what Sheffield United do.
Yeah.
You know, they're going for promotion. They may well rest a couple of players. And the only thing I'd say is that that would certainly be a mistake, because as we showed against Coventry, we can, you know, we've got a League One standard squad.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I think for a Championship side to come to our place and rest players would be a mistake. But we'll see. It'd be great. It'd be a great occasion. And like I say, if you can get into that fifth round, all of a sudden you're going, wow, this could be could be an incredible little run. This
why not win it? But yeah, I think you're right in terms of
why not?
You know, if you aren't going to draw a Man United or a Liverpool or an Arsenal or whoever, I think drawing someone like Sheffield United is better than drawing maybe someone like Brighton or you know,
or
one of them,
or Fulham,
like a team that's probably going to beat you. But it's there's no fun in that, is there?
Yeah, absolutely. So, that's exactly the way I looked at it. Right, to be honest.
Yeah,
arguably, if you're being like a proper thing about it, that Sheffield United is probably a bigger club than some of them Premier League outfits.
Oh yeah,
So
yeah.
So you may as well have a team in the Championship of the stature of Sheffield United than a, you know, a Brentford or a Fulham who've got good quality players, but you know they're not a big draw, are they? In terms of their following and history and stuff. So
Well, all fun and games.
My prediction is 7-6 Wrexham, because they just have some ballistic games.
Howard's
playing a goal for both sides, is he?
Yeah, what an absurd team. Every time I watch them on TV, it's an absolutely bonkers game. I just hope it doesn't distract from the league too much. I'm sure it won't. I think, you know, the squad's good enough to fight on.
I was going to put up a hypothetical question to Kaus. What would you rather do, win the FA Cup or and come second to Notts County, or go out now and win the league?
I'd take winning the FA Cup and getting relegated to the National League North.
For the European tour as well.
I agree with absolutely. That's a
football,
good answer.
Football is about get winning. This modern way. It's Premier League thinking, that, isn't it, Ross?
Yeah, it is.
Lads going, I'd rather get top four than win the FA Cup.
I can remember when Wigan went down the season they won the Premier League. I was like, yeah, but they've always got that FA Cup win now.
They might
fluctuate between which division they're in, but you know, you win the FA Cup, that's a remarkable achievement in any era. So,
to be honest, it's
good answer. Good answer.
Yeah, cheers, mate. There was just people do both, before Saturday. Just do both. That's the point. There was people before Saturday, though, Wrexham fans, and saying, I don't care if we go out against Coventry. I'm like, I just don't understand it. You've got to be... I do understand it, but I completely disagree with it, I should say. Like, football's about winning. Like, these days, like, Saturday was a great day in the history of the club.
It's about moments, you know, isn't it, footballers? And, like,
of course
you,
it is.
You remember that Coventry game more than you would, you know, maybe the day you go, I don't know. But, you know, that Coventry game, whether you're, you know, you're 60 or you're 6 years old and you went to that game... Yeah. That live with you forever now. You know, like that, you know, the Cardiff Leeds game from 2002. You know, I was like
Wrexham, West Ham in the 90s, is it?
Yeah.
Kevin Russell was in the snow over it.
Everyone talks, the thing is, you know, that we were sort of like mid-table League One side for most of the 90s. But people don't talk about that. They say, do you remember beating West Ham? Do you remember beating Middlesbrough? Do you remember beating Arsenal? Yeah. That's what they talk about. They don't talk about, do you remember when we finished ninth in League One?
Yeah.
You know, it's football's about moments. It's about, you know, you've got to be romantic about these things. You've got to, you know, it's there for enjoyment. It's entertainment.
I don't
understand it. And it's a very modern way of thinking. And it's a very Premier League-esque way of thinking.
Yeah.
People saying, I'd rather get top four than winning a competition. I just think it's ridiculous, to be honest.
This year is the most Premier League side has gone out in the third round since the last time a non-Premier League side got to the final, when Cardiff...
Is it really?
Got to the... Yeah. You know, I think could potentially have another... I do enjoy it when loads of Premier League sides go out.
Yeah.
Because I don't like seeing the same old names going into the semis and stuff. It's nice to see other fans get a chance to.
Yeah.
Even the semis. I don't think they should be played at Wembley, but it is a good opportunity for some fans who never get that chance to go there. Like Cardiff would have loved that occasion when they beat Barnsley and then, you know, all that.
Yeah, exactly. So.
I know I'm a little bit older, you know, than you two. I'm a few years older than you, Rods, and I don't know. How old are you, right?
28.
Yeah. Bloody hell, you're looking well. Looking well. No, but I was going to say, I think our generation, or certainly you're one of the last of the generation, I would say, right?
Yeah.
Who, like, as you were growing up, I mean, you'd think like, oh, I want to score in a cup final for Cardiff. Mm. That's what you dream of.
Yeah.
Like, whereas now, kids have come around to this sort of way of thinking. The FA Cup was such a big deal when I was a kid. FA Cup final Saturday was like the highlight of football season.
9 a.m. build up would start fucking 9 a.m.
And it was so exciting, wasn't it? It didn't matter who was in the final. It'd be so exciting, and you'd sort of plan your day, around the FA Cup final. Such a shame that that's no longer the case, Trim.
Yeah, no, the old cliche is that the magic of the cup is gone. But I mean, you only have to look at some of the games this weekend. That Stevenage game, I mean Chesterfield's game, Boreham Wood's game. The magic of the cup isn't gone. Even the Cardiff game yesterday, it was a proper good tie, and albeit it was two sides playing, heavily rotated teams. I think the fans were into it, and I think fans want cup runs. Like you said, it's all about moments and memories as a football fan, and that's cup gives you that.
You see coaches like Eddie Howe and saying there's a bigger picture where we're fighting for something in the Premier League. It's like, yeah, but they were playing Sheffield Wednesday, were fighting for promotion from League One.
Yeah.
And then there's teams like Wrexham fighting for promotion from the National League. You don't think these teams have got the bigger picture in the league? It's Premier League teams. Excuses for playing weaker side.
Sorry, Rod. Sorry to interrupt you.
I was just... Okay, got
it. When have you just speak?
Cows, speak. Go on.
Sorry. Basically, what I was going to say was, I was going to ask you, actually, Rod, do you think these guys, people like Eddie Howe, do you think they genuinely feel that, or have they got pressure from the boardroom?
I think because it's all money in it. The Premier League positions, I think every position, there's like a 3 million difference per position of your end of season, like reward for finishing 14th or something. So, and in the FA Cup, if you get to the final, it's a fraction of that. So I think it's all driven. Yeah, it is. I think it is boardroom. Like they'll probably tell them to prioritize and maybe use the cups to give your fringe players game time.
Yeah.
Keep a squad happy kind of thing. But that's just fucking football. It's been absolutely destroyed at the top level by money. So. Yeah.
No, exactly. So it is nice when, some of those clubs get a fucking, a kick in the teeth. Newcastle, for example. It's nice to see that, Sheffield Wednesday were like, I don't care if you're playing your second team, we're going to absolutely give you a game. And they did, and they knocked them out. And I'm sure if you asked a Newcastle fan whether they'd rather finish fifth or win the FA Cup this season, I'm sure most of them would answer winning the FA Cup. So, it is what it is. But yeah, great for Wrexham. Good draw. Let's hope they can beat Sheffield United. And Cardiff and Leeds play out.
Yeah. Good luck.
Replay, no doubt.
Good luck against Boreham Wood there, right?
Yeah. I am starting a crowdfunder. Any Cardiff fans listening, we're going to pay for Rodri's trip up to Elland Road to watch Leeds versus Cardiff, which would guarantee a Cardiff victory. So if you want to chip
unfortunately, if you leave that in my hands, you'll be getting Instagram pictures of me in Barbados with the money. well away from that.
I was going to say, there's no way we'd raise that much, but the ticket prices at Elland Road, it's not much different.
That's it.
from one disgrace to another, Adrian Phillips is next. Adrian Phillips, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Bloody hell.
You all right?
Everything all right, mate?
Oh, boys. Oh. What a fortnight I've had.
Yeah. obviously, I haven't spoke to you since before Christmas. Everything all right? Anything you got to tell us?
No, it's been a nice month, actually.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, took the boys to a warm weather training camp.
Where?
In the Gambia. Yeah. We had to go by bus. But I'd like to thank my new sponsor, the Gambia Cement Corporation, for their collaboration in the venture.
Great.
Yeah, warm weather training camp in the Gambia.
So a bit knackered then, are you?
Alan Florida's come back with alcohol poisoning.
Okay.
He drank too much White Bull Lager.
White Bull Lager.
Yeah, I'm not sure what kind of mix it was, but it's buggered him.
Oh, God.
Warm weather training. Warm weather shanting, it sounds like.
Hey, you've got to get some team spirit going, but the thing is, the team spirit's too strong. They wouldn't listen to me. They're all in the piss all the time.
Alan Florida's asking what the team spirit is. Vodka, whiskey.
Yeah. Smirnoff or Rachmanoff or something. Yeah, and then Hugh Flash, the creative midfielder, he's come back with dengue fever.
What is dengue fever when it's at home?
I don't know, he's just got it.
Doctor's note.
So I had to put in Comet out for 3 weeks, dengue fever.
Oh yeah, just had a look now. It's a viral infection spread by mosquitoes.
Yeah, there we are. He's buggered with that.
Oh dear. So, surprised they let him back in the country.
Put eight. What?
Surprised they let him back in the country with dengue fever.
Oh, he came in the bus. We put him in the boot,
course,
didn't we?
Yeah, of course. Smuggled him back.
And checked.
Yeah.
Put him in the kit bag and he was in. Yeah. Jonathan Hotspur scored 8 in our only game.
Yeah. Is that horse leg is doing in the world of good?
We did play against a team of local children because no one took us seriously because half the team was drunk as hell.
Yeah.
John Dogg got sent off. So I'm not sure if he's got FIFA ban now coming. Yeah.
In the doghouse, is he?
Well, a officially licensed game. This doesn't sound like it was past any sort of...
Well, the ref had a FIFA top on. FIFA 98, I think he said.
Pro Tour, okay. Yeah, EA Sports in the back, is it?
And hopefully we're going to win the league now. Well, I think we've already won the league, thankfully, because squad.
I mean, you missed all the football, the Christmas fixtures then. You just didn't bother with your Boxing Day game or your New Year's Day game. None of them. Just took them off. Forfeited them.
To be honest with you, this legal wrangling with the Anglesey League not letting me play in Abercorn on has gone on long enough.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd take the boys away and then left it to Red Island to sort out.
Okay.
How shocked were you when you came home to 4 consecutive 3-0 defeats? By default.
Yeah, there was that, yeah. We did get deducted 9 points for not fielding the game, but, you know, we're miles clear anyway. So, yeah, that's what I've been up to. But if I was going to give you any advice, lads, don't go to the Gambia on a bus.
What was the route out of
I wasn't interest? Thinking of doing it.
Huh?
What was the route out of interest?
I'll have to get back to you next week. I'll ask someone who was sober.
I just wondered if you went, you know, all the way around the Middle East and back across Africa, or if you managed to get
trying
like
to save money, not like, spend it,
like a ferry across from Spain
down,
to Morocco,
down to the bottom of Italy.
Yeah,
remember the bottom of Italy?
Yeah,
Malta.
Oh right, okay.
And then Tunisia, something like that.
Okay. Well, was it on one of them? You know, like those tour buses you get, like in Liverpool and places, which also go into the water. It's like
the duck or whatever.
Yeah,
it's called.
The duck thing. Yeah, was it one of them?
No. They're highly dangerous, aren't they?
Yeah, I think someone. No, yeah,
it was a 1980s double decker.
Okay.
Well, like fucking Del Boy's trip to Margate. Is it?
We didn't catch fire, actually. Well, I don't remember if it caught fire or not, but yeah, so...
Well, glad you're back in one of these.
League action resumes this weekend. Okay. I haven't got a clue we're playing.
Okay. Great.
Someone, probably.
Well, were you in Gambia for Christmas, then? Christmas Day?
No.
Okay. There we are. No.
I don't know, maybe. It's all just a blur, mate.
Very vague. Okay.
Yeah.
They're very good months.
Yeah. I mean, well, it was 2 weeks, like I said, at the start of this segment.
Yeah. Kaus is staying awfully quiet.
Yeah. Is he there? Oh, is he there? Is he?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
No, you've gone. I can hear you vaguely. Oh,
we left him in the Gambia.
I'm not sure why, but my headphones have stopped working, so I don't
It's okay. We can just pretend you've been abducted or something.
Yeah.
Well, you're coming live from Ogov Tumshung Hattie there, Cass.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Right. So normal service resumes. Well, normal. It's never normal, is it? But no. You know, service resumes next weekend with an inevitable idiotic trip up north.
Great. We're looking forward to it. It's been too long. Glad you've survived the Gambia. Send was it Hugh Flash who's got dengue fever? Send him my best.
All right, okay, well, he won't really hear you. He's in a coma at the moment.
how many of your squad have been in comas now?
Too many, to be honest with you. I've been waiting for police investigation to shut the club and sell again.
Yeah.
It's a shame about that big retirement today, isn't it?
Yeah, who's hung up their boots?
Red Allen.
Oh, no!
He's on the bench all the time. He wasn't getting enough games. He threw them at me. He said, I'm never playing for you again.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that's the most shocking retirement of the day.
Yeah.
Only just beating Wrongen. The retirement of Wrongen.
Paul Bowden. What's he done now?
Oh,
yeah. Anyway, I won't waste any more of your time. I've got stuff to do.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Keep it vague.
Me and Ryan are off to get Cows out the well for the next part of the project. Yeah.
I do want some cement to cement the well over there.
Who was it that you're sponsored by again?
He's forgotten.
Oh shit! I'm like losing this contract. The Gambia Cement Corporation.
There we are. So any cement needs, hit up the Gambia Cement Corporation.
Yeah, it will cost you a fucking hell of a lot to get them over here.
Postage.
Might cost you about £100 a bag extra to get imported. But that £100 will go to my pocket, so do buy it.
Okay. Great stuff. Thanks, Phillips. Pleasure as always.
Not a problem. Right. Until next time, adios.
Adios. Off you go, Phillips.
Right, last part of the show now. Normally we do Wrongen of the Week at this point. I'm having a crisis of confidence with Wrongen of the Week as a feature and whether it's worth keeping on. So, you know, if anything, we listen to our listeners. If you want to see Wrongen of the Week continue, if you want to see Wrongen of the Week continue, please let us know. I probably won't take your advice on board. But yeah, if you do want to see it continue, let me know. If you think it's done, also say it's done. I won't take offense because I've lost confidence in it.
You will be, if you do say it's done and it's too heavy handed with criticism, you will be nominated in the last ever one.
Yeah, the final wrong one. But yeah, I mean, you know, all good things have to come to an end, as Gareth Bale attests to. Maybe we'll retire wrong end with Gareth Bale. We're running out of. We haven't got a lot of time anyway, so no wrong-in this week. We might bring it back in future. We'll see. On to more important business. While we were recording, Boosh has sent in his Bale memory with lyrics. So before we go on, I will read this out. So Boosh, here he is. And I want to thank you for giving me the best days of my life. Oh, just to watch you is having the best days of my life. To rechange a few Dido lyrics. Far too many memories to choose. The high point was obviously France. He helped make a country believe in itself again. Boosh, amen, brother. Right, so yeah, we have been asked by the digital learning campaign, Our Team, Our Language, to help them out a bit and sort of raise awareness for this campaign. It's a campaign that's been established by the Welsh Government and the National Centre for Learning Welsh and has been supported by the FAW. Our Team, Our Language gives Cymru fans access to online learning materials with a football focus, and it's designed to give them a head start before joining a fresh wave of Welsh beginners courses that start this month. It's a bit of a drive to sort of get more people learning Welsh. It's a really worthy a campaign. I'm probably going to try and get myself involved. I need to get better at Welsh, as you will find out coming up. I do need to improve my Welsh. But yeah, if you're a football fan and you're listening to this, you can get a half price discount for the courses that begin this month. So if you go to learnwelsh.cymru/football, the courses start this month. And you'll pay £45 for it instead of £90. So good discount. And yeah, you know, fingers crossed, we can all learn a bit more Welsh and keep that language going and speak it more and just be proud of our language. So yeah, it's a little taster for what you can expect on these things. I've been given a quiz. And in that quiz, I've got three bits of commentary, recent commentary. It probably cheated a bit because you both of you are very capable Welsh speakers, so you know Welsh anyway. But I'll read them out. So you need to tell me who scored this goal. They're all fairly recent in the last year or so. So yeah, please give it a go. So the first one, play along at home, obviously, is
play along at home.
Some of these words are new to me, so I please.
Right, all you could do is give it a go.
Exactly, and that's the point of this whole campaign: giving it a go and learning and improving. So here we go: Roch and Bale and Kurt Cosby and Rula and our Wenich he feindio, and then that is the player. Any idea? If my Welsh was good enough for you to translate.
Yeah, I got most of that.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go put the ball in the danger area and you will find
in the air.
Yeah. Kiefer Moore.
Kiefer Moore indeed. Put the ball in the penalty area anywhere in the air and you'll find Kiefer Moore. Well done. We got next one. Mae hi'n gan Nico Williams eto roedd hwnna'n bas fendigedig Ramsey player. Very recent goal. Beautiful goal, if anything.
Belgium.
Who's
Ramsey back heel and Dan James, Belgium.
No, it's the right goal, wrong scorer.
Oh, who's
Brennan Johnson.
Brennan Johnson. Yes.
Brennan Johnson, of course.
Yes. Yeah. So it's with Nico Williams again. That's a fantastic pass. Ramsey, Brennan Johnson. Okay. Last one. My Anna. Gyfle arall i roi hwn i fewn mae'r golw yn aros. O, am beniad a ddiwedd yn gêm gan.
Is that the Netherlands game?
It is. Good stuff. Who scored that goal?
I can hear Nick Parry saying it.
A lot better than I've said it, with a lot more enthusiasm as well.
I'm not even joking. That was very, very good.
It was good. I don't think Nick Parry's job's at risk, though, in terms of the delivery of it.
Who scored?
Come on. It was his first goal, man.
Not Norrington.
Norrington Davis, of course it was. Header at the back post. Yeah. Very good. But yeah, we've also got a few here as well, if you want to translate. Mae'n heddlu wedi mynd ag Adrian Phillips eto. My Tommy Cowson hoff o gebabs.
Are these from Nick Parry during the game as well?
Yeah. They're not, but they're on the list here.
The TV coverage panned over to Agent Phillips being led out by Southfield.
But yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. And I think using football to learn Welsh is a really good way to do it because, you know, we all love football.
I tell you something as a Welsh learner myself, still learning, always learning, but I think football is fantastic. I think this is why I say to people, one of the best tools, you know, I've been learning a long, long time. It's like probably 11, 12 years now. But watching football and watching it on Scoria was a massive, massive help to me. So I think this is a brilliant initiative. And honest to God, I think that's an absolute bargain. I must admit, I don't know the details. I don't know if you're going to tell people the details after, but £45. I mean, what's £45, you know?
Yeah.
It's well worth it. And I honestly, I'd say to anyone, give it a go. Give it a go. And do you know what? People think that that people will sort of well, speakers will sort of look down at you for not being able to say things properly, stuff like that. It couldn't be further from the truth. People love to hear people having a go. They love it. I think this is a brilliant initiative.
You might get the odd sniffy minority, tiny amount.
But it's very, very rare, though, Rod, isn't it?
As a first language Welsh speaker, I'm learning new Welsh words every time I watch programs on S4C or stuff, you know?
Yeah.
You can probably tell by the grasp of my English language, any language I speak, I'm learning on the hoof. So,
yeah.
It's, you know, there's nothing more impressive to me, like this language I grew up with, hearing people learn it and try it out, because you can be terrible at it, but I don't try and learn Spanish or French, and it would be the same for me. You just want to be encouraged, and I think plenty of people would just be encouraging of it, and you know, it's any just trying it is impressive enough, so give it a go. And
absolutely,
you know, what's the worst gap, and you might learn some funny words that you can use to shout at people in Newcastle, Emlyn, or places like that.
So if you are interested in getting involved, it's learnwelsh.cymru/football. All the info's there. You get a special code which will allow you to get a course of £45 rather than £90. Just looking now, there's loads of different options. Some in a classroom, some virtual. I think most of them last a week. I think there's one here that lasts 30 weeks. You know, so you can sort of do, you know, there's something for everyone, and hopefully, you know, if you can get more people speaking Welsh using football and stuff, then that's brilliant. So yeah, get involved. I will put if you forget the link, it'll be in the episode description. So all good. So thanks for that. Right, quick message from me before we go. The 2023 subscriptions will be released soon. We're gonna have a new look, a bit of a new feel, give Alternate Worlds a bit of a facelift. So that's coming soon. Keep an eye out for that. I'm going to pick the track to finish this week, and it's going to be a song by Helen Love, and it's called A Boy From Wales Called Gareth Bale. I thought it was very fitting after today's pod. Rod, any closing statements from yourself?
No, I just blew the nail with that. Hope everyone had a nice festive period, or whatever it's called. Looking forward to what this year brings. I've got a funny feeling we might be doing a few more tribute podcasts. I think a couple more stalwarts might retire. That's a sad note to end on.
I thought you were going to say a couple more tribute podcasts because loads of people are going to die or something.
No, fuck no, I hope not.
Yeah, Christ.
Let's hope there's none of that. You know, a healthy and happy new year to everyone.
Yeah.
And keep on trucking into this strange world.
Yeah, this brave new world.
Yeah. I looked at the year today when first time I've looked at the actual 2023 and writing it, just look, it's the first year I've ever looked at it thinking, fuck me, we're living in the future. Like, it's a strange looking number, 2023.
There we are.
Yeah. That's just my mind.
There's Rod's existential crisis bit out of the way.
Did we just witness Rodri having a breakdown live on air then?
I think he's been doing that since we started this podcast.
A gradual breakdown for 84 episodes as he descends into madness.
800 months I've been having a breakdown for now.
Kaus, any closing statements from you?
Well, I just wanted to finish, Ryan, saying, you know, how long have we been doing Wrong of the Week? And me, you and Rods, we've never got anything planned.
Yeah.
And the one week I turn up with a bit of bloody preparation done, I've got a wrong-un, and you've stitched me up. It's on purpose.
He's retired the feature.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah. Do you want to share your wrong-un and there'll be honorary wrong-un of the week?
Well, to be honest, as everything is with me, it's extremely trivial. But what it is, it's not quite as trivial as Salt and Shake crisps, but it's not far away. It is, right? And I don't understand. And I think it happens at every single football ground. But I thought about it on Saturday, especially because it was so tense at the end of the game. Now, why the hell do clocks at football matches, right? Why do they stop on 90 minutes
yeah.
and not tell you how many minutes have gone in added time?
That is
annoying. What a stupid thing. Like, what is the point in that? Can clocks only go to like 90? Is that what it is?
Well,
it's ridiculous.
I assume it pisses me off. I assume it's because the man, because obviously it's a minimum they announce, isn't it? And, you know, if you're playing like longer, people are going to start losing their minds. I don't know. It might be something like that. But many a time I've had to like get the old stopwatch out on the phone if it's a really tense game, just to sort of know where we're at.
Yeah.
But
honestly,
yeah,
I had no idea how long there was to go, and it was a stressful time, let me tell you. But
just
one of those little bugbears of mine. But anyway, that's the last of the negativity you'll hear, because you've retired the feature. So
oh no, I feel bad. We'll have to bring it back next week. To be fair,
I just want to say noswaith da to Andrew Arty Davis, who's celebrating somewhere in Cowbridge.
Yeah. Still on a bender after his big win in Wrong Another Year. So to be fair, it actually crossed my mind the other day. I was in a kebab shop last weekend, and I asked for a mixed meat and chips, and he was like, "Do you want it medium or large?" And I thought, should it just be small and large if there's two sizes? Yeah, and that pissed me off. And I thought that could be a wrong one. So this is sort of the barrel that we're scraping at the moment.
Yeah, I'll throw one in then.
Okay, we'll do the vote. Here we go, hamstrings. There we are.
Yeah. So robbed Bale of a couple more years, and I have bad hamstrings as well.
All right,
you'll be surprised they learn.
There's your wrong one picks. Voting will start on Friday. I guess we're going to carry
golf
on.
Golf as well. Let's chuck golf out there as well.
And just the aging process.
We're only a year away from having to become a golf podcast, Cow, so you have to take that back.
Hey, I've taken up golf since
Bale's
I broke my leg
in the
as well.
Ryder Cup team.
Yeah. I've taken up golf since I broke my leg, so yeah, I mean, me and Bale have a lot in common. And I think just playing golf and having knackered
a lot
bodies
in
is...
common. That's, that's a stretch. Though,
we'll be back next week. And what we'll do next week, we'll have a little discussion about where we see Welsh football heading over the year from club level, you know, the domestic game and the international teams, men's and women's. So, we'll have a chat about that next week. We'll be back for more. Thanks for listening. Happy New Year. Keep on trucking while times are hard. And diolch yn fawr, Gareth Bale. I love you.
Legend.
See you next week. He's a boy from Wales, go Gareth Bale. Na 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 na.